Okay, morning everybody. This year from Maseches Moed Katan, dedicated by the Baumzers and Omo Construction. Thanks for that. And weekly breakfast sponsored by Bagel Munch, Lili Nishmas Vega Baschayim and Shimon Ben Zaev. We are on Moed Katan Daf Chaf Aleph. We were in the middle of the discussion about Kriya Me'umar. We were told that when you have to tear, there's a mitzvah to tear, you close when the person becomes an aval. And the kriya has to be done standing. At first, the Gemara presents a pasuk on the bottom of Chaf Amud Beis, the last line. These Amoraim are discussing what was the source for that, the pasuk for it. It's not really going to be a source, really. It's not a pasuk. That's a din d'oraisa. But still, okay, it's like an asmachta. That's why you can use psukim from Eov. That's of course a pasuk in Eov. Eov stands up in the beginning of Eov, the story where he suffers all of the calamities. He hears about everybody dying, and he stands and he tears. More now, and Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph says that doesn't sound like a good source. Elamayata v'yamar v'yamar lo chafatzti l'kachta. If you're going to be able to infer from the expression he got up and tore to mean that you're required to do that and stand before you tear, then we should follow that same style of limud when it comes to, in this pasuk, it says the chalitza procedure. It says that the woman approaches the dayanim and says, this guy doesn't want to do yibam, and they say, is this true? And he says, right, v'yamar, v'yamar, lo chafatzi l'kachta. He says, I don't want to marry her. So, achinami, is that going to be like the like what we just said about Kriya, that if that you have to stand up? It can't be, v'ha. But after all, Tanya says in Ebraisa, bein yoshev bein omeid bein muta or mota, even if he's standing, sitting, or just leaning. So there's no requirement of standing, you see, at least based on that pasuk. And Tosis raises the possibility maybe you have to anyway stand for other reasons. But Amr Lei Asam Lo Ksiv Vayamod Vayomer Acha Ksiv Vayakam Vayikra. So a Mamer who gave him the pasuk, then Ravashi challenged back. So then a Mamer apparently defended himself by saying, yeah, it's totally different. One is Vayamar Vayamar, in which case there's no implied need to stand first, because we're treating it like it's a double verb, like a compound verb. Like ve'amad is only an auxiliary verb, not necessarily that it requires its own action. You know, like when you go and say, or you go and do something, the going isn't really separate. It just means you do. Now we have that also in Aramaic. When you say ka amar and ka tani, the ka really is related to the word kai. Kai means amar. It means omeid. It means to stand. So we're always doing that kind of a thing. Amida as an auxiliary verb is very, very natural. So that's what Gemara says. But the thing is that it says, so how are you going to learn it from Eov? You're going to learn it from Eov because it doesn't say that v'yamad v'yamar. It says v'yakam v'yikra. So you'd figure he should have said an easy answer. He just should have said, well, it doesn't say yamida. It says kima. Kima is a different verb. Maybe it doesn't lend itself to being an auxiliary verb. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It says, well, because... And then it's not clear. It's not clear exactly what the Gemara's distinction was. So some Rishonim say it has to do with the past tense versus the tzivui tense. Okay, so if we were Amoraim who were Osik in these things, we would understand what a Mamer's response was. He says, well, that's different. V'yamar v'yamar doesn't imply anything, but v'yakam v'yikra does. All right, we're going to see the same type of thing play out here. Amar Rami Bar Chama. And other Amoraim are doing the same question. Minayim l'kriyashi mi'umar shenamar v'yakam iyo v'yikra. And then he says back to him, well, there is no him saying back to him. So it says, Tam Gemara is asking, v'dilma milsi yisirasa hu the avad. Well, how do you know that just because he did it, that we all have to do it? In other words, sometimes when we're learning a limud from the way the psukim describe an event, maybe it implies that this is what's mandatory. But if it just says that this is, it just describes the narrative, is that Eov was in such anguish, he stands up and he tears, doesn't necessarily mean that everybody always has to stand up before they tear. That's why the Gemara is asking, Dilma Milsa Yasi Rasa Hu Diyavad. Maybe that was something that he did on his own. The Ilo Tema Hachi, and it seems like that was really going on, because it also says there's something else that he did. Vayagaz Es Rosho. He also is grabbing his hair, and he cuts his hair. So, Achanami, so they think that that's also necessary? It's not required. Ella, okay, we throw out that limud. So, this version of the Amoraim talking about the Kriyama Umud rule did not accept the limud from Iyov for that reason, for this consideration. Not because the word itself would not be able to serve as a limud, just because he did too many other things there, at least one other thing that was known to be not necessary, therefore you can't learn anything from him. Anyway, the whole Eov story, how do you learn anything from Eov? We don't even know who he is. We don't know if he existed. We don't know anything. So, I mean, the whole, I don't know how you could have learned anything from Eov. In any case, so we learn from a different source. Ela Mehacha. So I have a different pasuk. Vayakam HaMelech. That's the Melech David. Vayakras Begadav. So David hears the news and tears his clothes. And it says, Vayakam Vayakras Begadav. He gets up and he tears his clothes. What news did he hear? He heard the news, which was false, the false report that one of his children massacred all the rest of his children. So really what happened was, it was partially true. He killed, Avshalom killed Amnon, so he was an avil. Okay, but in any case, he tears his clothes, gets up and tears. So the Gemara asks the same question. Well, how do you know he did it because he was required? V'dilma milsi yisirasa avid. And then he says here, because he also did something else that should have been suspicious. Ilotema achi vayishkav arza achinami. Vayishkav arza, he was lying on the ground. Well, vayishkav arza, Tosis points out, is not really in the same context. It was a different parak. All of this David stories following the Batsheva incident, and then his whole family falls apart. So the first thing that happens is that his first baby from Bathsheba, he's told, is going to die. So David expresses all of this mourning, the grief. He expresses all of his grief beforehand. Tosis wants to know, why should he learn anything about that if it wasn't an avil at that point? But in any case, lying on the ground. So what do you know about lying on the ground? So it says here in the Braisa, that lying on the ground is not an expression of avela. See what it says. V'atanya yashav al gabi mital gabi kisal gabi udaini lo yatze dechovaso. And as in the parentheses here, gedola, the most significant point here is al gabi karka lo yatze dechovaso, which means that if the avel lies on the, is either sitting on a chair or on a bed or something, he's not yotze, even if he's on the floor, lo yatza. So the question is, lo yatza what? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan shalokim kfiyas hamita. He didn't do the mitzvah that's required to do kfiyas hamita. So there's a whole bunch of things that we have to do in avelus. We're going to see a lot of them in a minute. But some of the avelus rules are unfamiliar to us because we've lost them. One of them is this one, Kriyas Amita. One of the requirements of Avelus is to take the bed and turn the bed upside down. And then what we're being told here in this Braisa, according to some Rishonim, is then you have to use it. If you just turn the bed upside down and then you don't use it, then you didn't do the mitzvah. And so lying on the floor doesn't accomplish anything. Others say that you don't necessarily have to use it, but the point is that he's described as lying on the floor without necessarily any reference to turning over the beds or something. It's a little bit unclear exactly what the Gemara was trying to do here with David HaMelech. But in any case, this is one of the mitzvos of Avelus that we don't follow. It's turning the bed upside down.
How come we don't follow that?
The Tosfos on the side over here, which is not on our sugya, but it's going to be on the next sugya, so may as well, since you bring it up, says that we don't follow that one because our beds are not made the way their beds are made. And when we turn our beds upside down, you wouldn't even realize. So Tosfos apparently are thinking like it's the mattress rather than the actual frame of the bed. So I guess that's what they say.
Tosfos know how we make beds today.
Yeah, exactly. We have to review these halachos, meaning that we have to see whether maybe it does make sense. Maybe we should take the box spring, flip it upside down, and sleep on the bottom of the box spring. Maybe just,
maybe we
I
should
don't know.
Sleep on the box spring.
Oh, see, that's an interesting thing. Can you change the rule? The rule is flip it over. So can you change it to be, make it uncomfortable in some way? So that, probably not. Because when you get to the Gemara later on, you'll see what's the whole source of Kfiyas HaMita. It's based on a pasuk, and the wording of the pasuk is Kfu Mita Seichem Aleha. You have to be kofer. I guess we might have seen it already. You have to turn the beds over. So there might be something symbolic about that gesture that you'd lose by just sleeping on the box spring. I don't know. In any case, you have to... Yeah, they're okay. So it could be that it's just not realistic. That there might be too many problems with widespread insistence on Kfiyas HaMita nowadays. All right. In any case, we don't do it. So, but the point is that David HaMelech was Yashen al Gabi Karka, and that wouldn't have been something as an expression of Avelus, and so you see that that's not... See, well, he was doing things that wasn't Avelus. Like Mara says... No, he misunderstood the psukim, and that certainly is what he was doing. He didn't really sleep on the floor. He meant that he slept, he did Kriya Samit, and he slept on the upside down bed. And then we're trying to learn Kriya, and that becomes the limud. And that's the way it goes. We accept that halacha, that Kriya has to be Mu'umad. We even accept the halacha, you see from the bottom of the page, that he tore again. That was from yesterday's, from last off. That if you tore sitting down, we even say b'diyeved lo yatsa. Okay, let's take a look. Braisa. The Braisa says, and this is maybe our first introduction to the whole breadth of the Avelus laws. It says here, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, the following are things that the Avel is required to observe. Tana Rabbanan, Devarim, or Eilu Devarim, Sheha Avel Aser Bohen. The following things that the Avel during Shiva is not allowed to do. Tosus right away, after going through this long list, Tosus says, well, he left out at least five. And Tosus lists off five, and he explains why those five didn't belong on this list. The Braisa goes on. It says, well, Aser b'melacha. Okay, he's not allowed to do melacha, he's not allowed to go to work, do work, earn money, whatever, he has to take off from work. That's an expression of Avelus, to take off from work. It'd like demonstrate that you can't function normally. That's really the underlying essence of all of this. Berechitza, besicha, betasha shamita, you're not allowed to wash or smear oils. Tashmi shamita is forbidden during Shiva. Benilas a sandal, wearing leather shoes. The yasa lekros, you're not allowed to recite. Betorah, benivim ksuvim, recite psukim. Lishnos, to learn, b'mishnah, b'midrash, b'halachos, b'ashas, v'yagados, not allowed to learn Torah. We would have just put all of this in one word, you're not allowed to learn Torah. And the v'yimhoi rabin tzrichim lo, eino nimna. Unless the people need you, unless you're the rav, and people have shilas for you, and you have to express your eskialacha, so you're going to have to be osik b'Torah to some extent, and you're going to have to be available to the public. Eino nimna, so you're going to have to be osik in Torah even during Shiva if necessary. And once upon a time it happened that Rabbi Yossi, his son passed away and he was in Shiva. V'nichnas lebeis ha-medrash, and despite that, he came into the beis medrash v'darash kol ha-yom kulo, and he taught the halachos all day. So not only did he learn, but also darash. That's pretty significant. It says that it was darash. Rabba Bar Barchana, similar type of a story. Rabba Bar Barchana, the Amora, was Isra Be Milsa. Once he also became an Avel. Savar Delola Mepek Lepirka. So he thought he shouldn't go and he should cancel this year. Amalei Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said to him, that's not right. Imhaya Rabbim Tzrichim Lo Eino Nimna. The people are expecting you, they need you, and what are you going to do? You going to tell everybody just to go home and watch TV? I mean, what are you going to... Everybody needs... They need you. So, Savra Liukmi Amora Ale. So then he said, all right, fine. So he was about to do business as usual. And that included, he was about to set up his assistant to go and speak the whole the shir out loud. That's that idea. Having an amora is somebody who's essentially your microphone, somebody who's going to be projecting what you want to say, possibly even amplifying and clarifying it. So that's what he was about to do. That's normal business. But Amar Le, Rav, but Rav apparently tells him, no, Tanya, Bilvat Shelo Yamid Turgaman. You can't have somebody doing that. You can't have a middleman. On the side, they say it has to do with, because it seems like you're totally unaffected, like there's no change. You should have some kind of, something should indicate that you're grieving and that you're in a velus, even though you're here necessarily because you have to be, but it's not really normal. So what are you supposed to do if you have to give the shir? Like it says in the Braisa, a similar kind of a thing that Tanoim also, that once Rabbi Yehuda, his son passed away, and he was in Shiva, and he came to the Beis HaMedrash, v'nifnas Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, that's the well-known Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, the one who tells us about Hashem Ratzel Zakos es Yisrael. So he comes in, and he sits next to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. That's Rabbi Yehuda. This Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi is the regular Rabbi Yehuda. And v'yashav etzido, and he's sitting down next to him. V'lachash hula Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya. Rabbi Yehuda, he whispers his idea, his thought, his the idea to Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, who then whispers it over to the Torgamon, and the Torgamon announces it to everybody. So, okay, that was enough of a change. So even though he needed a Torgamon, so he couldn't dispense with him, but he was able to at least come up with another ruse to make it clear that this is not normal. He got an assistant to speak to the assistant to give the shiur. All right. Well, yeah. Fine. Okay, so in any case, that's what it says. It says that he's not allowed to learn, he's not allowed to give the shiur, he's not allowed to be osik in Torah. And one very fascinating thing that the Rishonim over here bring up, which is, hey, they didn't carve out anywhere any exceptions for Hilchos Avelus and the sad parts of the Gemara and the sad, like we do on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the same injunction. I'd let it learn on Tisha B'Av also, except that it explicitly carves out all of the sad things, the sad or tragic parts. It doesn't say that over here. So the Rishonim have a whole debate about whether or not that exclusion applies. We hold the hakil on that. We hold that the exclusion applies, and therefore the avel does can learn dvarim harayim. Okay, Tan Rabbanan says in a brisa, a new thing. Avel gimel yamim harishon and maser lehaniach tefillin. This is one of the things. Tosas points out that they didn't put this in that list over there because it doesn't belong, because this is not true for all of Shiva. This is a rule only for part of Shiva. Tan Rabbanan says in the brisa, avel gimel yamim harishonim. The first 3 days, we're going to discover that's not entirely 3 days. Asur lahaniach tefillin. He's not allowed to wear tefillin. We're going to learn why, if we didn't already, based on the fact that tefillin are considered to be te'er, and jewelry, and it's not right. Because as one of the nevuos, it says that you're going to have a crisis, and they don't want you. Well, maybe that was a pasuk, maybe to one of the Nevi'im.
We don't hold that
yeah.
way, right?
We don't hold that way precisely, right. There's a lot more development coming up over here. So in any case, you don't wear tefillin. It's not appropriate to wear tefillin in the first few days of Avelus. How many days? So far we're being told 3 days. But meshlishi ve'elech, but from then on, but it's not from day four on, it's Meshlishi Ve'elech Vishlishi Bechalal, including the third day, which really means that it's 2 days you don't wear tefillin, and the third day is already, you do wear tefillin. It says, Mutter Lahaniach Tefillin. Except if Imba Uponim Chadashos. Except if a new person comes, then things might be different. Why would it be different if a new person comes? We're used to the idea of panim chadashos, at Sheva Brachos, during the week of Sheva Brachos, in order to be allowed to say the extra five brachos of the Sheva Brachos during the benching for the week of the Simcha after a wedding, you need to have a Panim Chadashos present in the room. So the role of Panim Chadashos over there, not necessarily the same as it is over here, where the Avelus, when you have a Panim Chadashos visiting the Beis HaAvel, that affects things here. So the Panim Chadashos over there may be the same as this Panim Chadashos over here. We're not familiar with Panim Chadashos over here because we're going to see as things play out, this rule seems to have eroded and then kind of dissolved and disappeared. But we're going to see. But anyway, Panim Chadashos is the new person who comes in. Rashi over here learns that most of the Rishonim learn the same as him. It's a Marisayin. That if the Panim Chadashos come in and they see him wearing tefillin, they're going to think that he always was wearing tefillin. It's a little bit of a funny Marisayin. Because why would they think so? If the rule is that you don't wear tefillin the first day and second day, but you do wear tefillin the third day, and they come in on the third day and they see he's wearing tefillin, that's doing what he was expected to be doing. What's the Marisayin? I don't know. In any case, that's the way this Rashi and a lot of Rishonim look at it as a Marisayin. Others,
I thought we only don't wear tefillin on the first day.
Right, so we're going to see that gets modified. Others say that it's not about that. It's really because we'll talk more as we see more. But then this first opinion over here, this is all Rabbi Eliezer speaking. This Brisa is first quoting Rabbi Eliezer. He says the first 3 days, which is really 2 days, he's not allowed to wear tefillin, but from day three on, you wear tefillin, except if you are wearing tefillin when a Panim Chadashos comes in, you don't take it off. That's what it says. Ein cholitz. You don't take off your tefillin if Panim Chadashos come in. The implication might be, presumably it would be, that you don't put on tefillin if there's a Panim Chadashos there. Anyway, dear Rabbi Eliezer, that's Rabbi Eliezer's sheet. Rabbi Yeshua, normally whenever there's a machlokes Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, we follow Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua over here argues and he says, first of all, both of your things are wrong. First thing, it's 2 days. Beis yamim harishonim asar laniach tefillin. And 2 days means really 1 day. It's a funny way to talk. But anyway, the 2 days is really the 1 day. Because from day two on, mutar laniach tefillin, but not if there's a Panim Chadashos. And if Panim Chadashos walks in, you have to take off the tefillin. Choletz. You have to take off the tefillin in the presence of Panim Chadashos for the rest of Shiva, presumably. Amar Rav Masna, my time with Rabbi Eliezer. Why does Rabbi Eliezer hold those things? Meaning it's 2 days of non-tefillin. Tefsiv ayitmu yimei bichi evel Moshe. Very end of the Torah. It says after Moshe dies and everybody was all grieved and they were all in avelos and says eventually that avelos ended. Vayitmu yimei bichi evel Moshe. So so Rabbi Eliezer is saying, you see the words are yimei bichi evel. In other words, bechi lasts for more than 1 day. 2 days, yimei. Whenever it's a plural, it's always assumed to be two, unless a number is specified, even though a number was specified in previous psukim, but not in this pasuk. So we say 2 days of bechi. And they're taking this as to be relevant for the tefillin. So Rabbi Eliezer says, you see that days of grieving is 2 days long, you don't wear tefillin for both days. Amar Ravina, my time with Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, what's Rabbi Yeshua's reasoning? Dechsiv yachar isa ki yom mar. There's an apostle gnomes that the Avelis, the day of the first day of Avelis, the 1 day is mar, is bitter. So there's 1 day of Avelis is the bitter day of Avelis, which would preclude tefillin. That's Rabbi Yeshua's leaning. It's a pasuk in Navi again, so again, you can't really learn halachos from it, which makes all the Rishonim over here, everybody now wakes up and say, whoa, who is getting you out of the mitzvah of tefillin? Tefillin is mitzvah d'oraisa. What is the basis for not doing that mitzvah? You're required to wear tefillin all the time, and why are you excused and not even allowed to wear tefillin? Does that imply that at least some of Avelus is the Oraisa. So a lot of the Rishonim over here say, exactly, and that's what's going on, and that's why the Tefillin rule is only 1 day, because the only 1 day of Avelus is required the Oraisa. To a certain extent, we know that from the psukim in the Chumash. Like when Nadav and Avihu died, and Aaron was told, you know, you have to eat the korban. He says, I can't eat the korban. After all, the achalti chatas hayom. You want me to eat the korban today? So that's we understand that to be the din. That is a din d'oraisa, is that the kohen is not allowed to be yochel korbanos be'aninus. That's aninus yom. But the but this is saying a different thing, not about korbanos. Maybe just in general. Maybe the experience of the marus of the day should be enough to get him off the tefillin. Some Rishonim say that's the key to understanding what's going on. Other Rishonim say that is absolutely not true. There is no Torah mitzvah. There's no din d'oraisa avelus at all. That's a very lively discussion, Rishonim, and it kind of hinges around what's going on with tefillin. How are we getting out of tefillin even for the one day? All right, in any case, see, when we talk about avelus, we're going to find out more of this, is that really the avelus, the shiva avelus, is from burial, not from death. But death is really the time of when there's the most grief, is like it's from death. And when the Chumash is talking about it, they hadn't buried Nadav and Avihu yet. I mean, it's the death that creates that condition. So there's some kind of fogginess about Misa, about Kvura, or only about both. That's why some are showing him right, that the din d'oraisa of avelus is only if you bury the person on the same day that the person dies, and that creates a condition d'oraisa of avelus d'oraisa, in which case that would be the only time when the tefillin would be not allowed. That counts as day one, and then day two would be the next day already. Then you have to put on tefillin according to all of this. Okay, in any case,
when you do that, when the person's an onan, when they pass away, then I say that next morning, if they hadn't done the burial, they're not putting on tefillin.
Right, so it could even be that the person maybe wasn't buried for a few days, and then aninus is what exempts you from tefillin. You don't put on tefillin during aninus. That can even stretch for longer than a day. Then, after the burial, that's day one. That starts day one. So then, do you put tefillin on that day? Some Rishonim say,
for mincha, the rabbi said not to put on.
Right, because we, Ashkenazim anyway, we hold no, there's never a velus d'oraisa, in which case it doesn't matter. Day of Misa, Kvura, doesn't matter. And so day one is always no tefillin at all. So even after the Kvura, you don't put on tefillin because it's called day one. That's this rule. Okay, but in any case, it says here from day two on, you do put on tefillin. Because only one day, achrisa ki yomar, only one day. Rabbi Yeshua nami, aye, but then now the Amoraim are kind of asking about why doesn't each one acknowledge the other one's pasuk? Rabbi Yeshua Nami Yaksiv Ayitmu Yemei Bichi Evil Moshe Amar Lach. So doesn't that imply 2 days? Amar Lach, he would say Shani Moshe the Takif of Evlei. Well, that's different. That's Moshe Rabbeinu we're talking about, and the grief there may have been intense even for more than the regular amount. So you can't learn a lesson to regular avelus from Moshe. Rabbi Eliezer Nami Yaksiv Achrizak Yomar. He acknowledges, yeah, I agree. Ikar merira chad yoma, that's true. The first day is really intense, but so what? Ikar merira chad yomo, and doesn't matter. You still don't wear tefillin, even in the avelus of 2 days' worth, as it says, yemei b'chi evil Moshe. Okay, in any case, that's the Tanoim. Now, what do we do? What did the Amoraim say about lahalacha? Amar Ula. So Ula, the Amora says, here's the Psak Halacha. Halacha is Rabbi Eliezer b'chalitza, b'halacha Rabbi Yeshua b'hanacha. We follow Rabbi Eliezer with respect to the taking off policy, and we follow Rabbi Yeshua with respect to the putting on policy. What in the world does that mean? So Rabbi Eliezer, remember, made it into 2 days of Avelus, but you don't take off the tefillin in the presence of a panim chadashos. Right? That was Rabbi Eliezer's rule. So with respect to taking off, we say you don't take off in the presence of panim chadashos. But with respect to the Rabbi Yeshua, the hanachas tefillin, we follow Rabbi Yeshua who says you do have to put on tefillin starting on day two. On day two, you have to put on the tefillin. Rabbi Yeshua was a day two person. But Rabbi Eliezer, who says you don't take off the tefillin, but he again was only saying starting from day three, because Rabbi Eliezer is taking off policy only kicks in day three. So now the Gemara is wondering, wait a second, so if you put them all together, you're not entirely sure what to do on day two with respect to taking off. On the second day of Avelis, for Ula, do you take off the tefillin? And what would you take off the tefillin if a Panim Chadashas comes? Do you take off the tefillin if a Panim Chadashas walks in or not? Oh, Einacholitz. The Tashma, let's see, that we apparently have another teaching. Somebody else actually heard information about this. Amar Ula, Choleitz Umaniach Afila Me'ap Yamim. You have to take off the tefillin if a Panim Chadash is there. When he leaves, you put back on the tefillin. I remember we're talking about wearing tefillin all day long. And you take off. When another Panim Chadash comes in, you put back on when he walks out. So Afila Me'ap Yamim, even I'm talking about on that second day. That's the way Ula has it. Tanya Nami Achi. There is a brisa that says that this is the right way to behave. Yehuda ben Tema Omer Choleitz and Maniach Afila Me'ap Yamim, which is a brisa already, even in Tanoim. But now we find Rava. Rava often has the last word. Rava Amar. We don't follow any of that. Kiven Sheiniach Shuvena Choleitz. Rava says that once you have the tefillin on, you never have to take them off. You never have to take off the tefillin.
We're tefillin a whole day.
Yeah.
And so it's a little different in our minds when we're thinking about taking off tefillin.
Yeah, it's different. It's a little different experience of tefillin, but it wouldn't affect any of these halachos, right? So we're only anyway wearing tefillin just that one shot for davening, and then if we're being told, you don't take it off if a panim chadashus comes in. So okay, so he'll keep them on until davening's over and take them off anyway. Then the Gemara says, wait a second, wait, the Gemara realizes that in last daf, Rava happened to have been, we weren't necessarily paying attention to this, but Rava, the Gemara was paying attention, Rava held 3 days, is the Yikra Veils. That was actually the principle of Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore, why is he paskening like Rabbi Yeshua here, 1 day? So the Gemara says, well, that's true. About some things he considers Ikar Avelus to be the 3 days, but not for tefillin. Why? On Amud Beis in the top, it says mitzvah shani. For mitzvah, meaning tefillin, he says, you can't really consider all 3 days to be Ikar Avelus, so it's only 1 day. So in the meantime, it comes out to be what we're familiar with. 1 day of tefillin, in other words, the first day of Avelus, you don't wear tefillin the whole day. The second day of Avelus, you do wear tefillin, and even if Panim Chadashos comes, you don't take off the tefillin. That's the way we hold it. And then all the rest of the days, of course, you put on tefillin. One fascinating thing that I remember learning, and I didn't really see this emphasized, it's not clear here, but the Mishnah Berurah does make the point in Hilchos Tefillin, that it does not, however, say that Panim Chadashos is irrelevant. It just says you don't take off the tefillin if a Panim Chadashos comes in. But what if, and this is something that does happen, what if you're in a Shiva house, and it's day two of the Avelus, and a Panim Chadashos is there, and now the Avel comes out to the room and is ready to daven to put on his tefillin. So that's a Panim Chadash. You don't put on the tefillin when there is a Panim Chadash on day two. So then he would say, then you don't put on tefillin, even on day two, because of the Panim Chadashos being present. That's not emphasized. It's not clear over here that would be the case. We're only told if he has his tefillin on before any Panim Chadashos is walk in the door, so then he doesn't take off the tefillin. So that's what we were always advised. They didn't really make this point clear. If the person is in Shiva, he should put on the tefillin before any guests, before any people, before any daveners come into the room, because if it's a Panim Chadashos, he may not be allowed to put on the tefillin that day, and that's all complicated. It's not so obvious that that's necessarily true. Mishneh Berurah says, Chrona make that point, but you can avoid it by simply just making sure you beat everybody else, or don't open the door until after you get your tefillin on, or put tefillin on in the other room. But that then you don't have to take off tefillin if somebody, a new Panim Chadashos, comes in. So it seems the whole Panim Chadashos thing is a funny concept that it seems to have relevance even for Avelis, not just for Simcha. Those who hold not based on Marisayin, so they say a different thing. They say because when a new person comes, and we know this to be the case, when new people come to a Shiva house, it magnifies the grief. The emotions are magnified. And so when a Panim Chadashos comes, so then that, like, it's almost as if it puts you back into a day one state of Avelis. Anyway, that's what other Rishonim say. Then it would be very consistent with the Panim Chadashos at the Shabbat Brachos, because then the person who comes in, it's like it recreates the wedding day level of Simcha, and that type of a thing. So maybe the Panim Chadashos concept is relevant for the same reasons, both for Avelis and for Simcha. Okay, Tanarbanim, we're on the top line. Right, it says, Avel Gimel Yamim HaRishonim Asr Bin Melacha. For the first 3 days, we just said that Avel is not allowed to do Melacha. That was listed here in the Braisa and Amud Aleph, and therefore we know that should be in all of Shiva. There's an Isra Melacha. We're being told, but it changes. The first 3 days, Asr Bin Melacha, Afilu Ani HaMisparnes Min HaTzedakah. That's even a totally impoverished person who lives off charity is not allowed to do any Melacha. That's interesting. In other words, you can have a Metzias of somebody who's actually doing Melacha, and still needs to live off charity. Okay, so that person can't even supplement with his own malacha. Mikan ve'eilech, though, but during Shiva, after the first 3 days, things are a little bit weaker. And osa bitzina besoch beso. He can do malacha in his house privately. Still not allowed to do anything publicly. The Aisha also, if the woman is the Avela, Tova Bepelech Besoch Besa. She can also do minor work in the house if she's driven to that because of need. So on the side, Tosis quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that they say, well, maybe you'd be allowed to do this, but Tova Me'era on everybody in the whole neighborhood that has not stepped up to take care of these people and to remove the pressure that they would feel to have to go to work during Shiva. So really, we don't want them to work at all during Shiva, obviously. That becomes the community's responsibility. All right, Tana Rabbanan says in the Braisa, Avel Gim Yam HaRishonim Eina Holech Lebesa Avel, Besa Avel. Right, so it says the first 3 days of Avelus also. Now really, the rule is that he's not supposed to walk out of the house. We're going to see that in other places. But at least if he has to go out of the house, so in the first 3 days, he shouldn't go anywhere. Ein holech lebeis ha'avel mikan ve'eilech. But from the second half of Avelus, holech ve'ein yoshev lebeis ha'avel. He can go and visit a beis ha'avel, a place where Avelim are. The question whether this means specifically to family members or just any avelim. So we take the view that it could be any avail. But when he goes and visits the Beis HaAvel, he shouldn't sit with the people who are comforting and consoling the avelim. He should go and join the avelim. He sits along with the other avelim there. And again, that provides solace, you know, in its way, like you're sharing the misery. And also, it's appropriate. They should be with the misnachamim. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. That's all question. This leads to Rishonim here on the side. Thus brings the question, well, what happens on Tisha B'Av? Does the Avel, everybody is in Avelus on Tisha B'Av, so does the Avel go to Shul on Tisha B'Av? Is that like going to Beis HaAvel? That's what they talk about. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Avel Gil Yom HaRishonim Asr B'Sheilas Shalom. Another one of the restrictions of Avelus is She'elas Shalom. What does She'elas Shalom mean? What does that mean? She'elas Shalom. Literally, it means asking their peace. In other words, when you ask, how are you? That's exactly what it means. She'elas Shalom. How do you fare? How are you? But they're not taking it that way. They're taking it in a different way. You'll see that they're very focused on actually the use of the word shalom in She'ilas Shalom. And something apparently special about shalom, about saying shalom. Let's see. So it says here, for the first 3 days, the rules of greeting the avel, or greetings from an avel, are like this. Aser b'she'ilas shalom. You're not allowed to have any greetings. Meshlosh of Yad Shiva, the rest of Shiva, Meshiv, the Avel can respond to somebody's greeting, Ve'eno Shoel, but he's not allowed to initiate his own greeting to them. Mikan Ve'elech, after Shiva is over, Shoel Meshiv Kedarko. It seems to be saying here that there's no greeting restrictions in effect. The Gemara is going to challenge that soon. So now the Gemara asks, Shlosh Yamim Harishodim Asr B'Shele Shalom? That can't be. This Braisa says the first 3 days, you're not allowed to, the Avel is not allowed to engage in any greetings, in any like social she'ilas shaloms. The Hatanya, but that can't be, because of the following story. Maaseh omeisu banam shel Rebbe Akiva. Once Rebbe Akiva had a banav shel Rebbe Akiva, literally says children of Rebbe Akiva. Nechnesu kol Yisrael. And the whole, all the Jews came to visit. V'hispidum hespid gadol. And then b'shas petir asan. And then when they were all leaving, Amad Rebbe Akiva al asafsel gadol. Rebbe Akiva gets up and he has to try to project to everybody there. And he has to say, Yachenu, Beis Yisrael, Shimu, Afilu, listen, Afilu shnei bonim chasanim enucham hu b'shvil kavod she'asisem. Look, you guys have done such a great honor to us in your attempts to try to be comforting and consoling. And so, you guys are very, we appreciate your efforts very much. V'yim b'shvil akiva basem, harikam akiva b'shuk. And I hope you didn't come just because of me, because I'm no different from everybody else. Elakach amartem, Torah selukav v'libo. Okay, but at least you guys are really giving cover to the Torah. V'koshken shescharchem kaful. And so therefore, we really, really appreciate what you guys have done. You guys have really done a great thing here. Okay, none of this is relevant, really. But the last part is relevant. Lechu levateichem l'shalom. So go home in peace. Which doesn't sound like any kind of Shaila Shalom. That's what a lot of Rishonim are wondering. What is that? The Rashi right away over here says, you see, that's called Shaila Shalom. L'chula v'atechem l'shalom. Well, it's hard to really make that case. You do find a little bit of this with respect to other halachos also, such as you're not allowed to give Shaila Shalom before davening every morning. But that does not mean you're not allowed to interact with anybody before davening. So it just means, you know, I've got to say Shalom Aleichem. That's an official rule which distinguishes between saying Shalom Aleichem and saying good morning. The good morning is okay. Shalom Aleichem is not okay. Presumably, how are you would probably not be okay, because that is kind of She'elas Shalom in a literal sense. So there's a little bit of confusion here, but exactly what's included in the parameters of this She'elas Shalom, it's relevant here for the Avilish rule as well. So you see that they're saying, L'chu levateichem l'shalom, he invoked the magic word shalom, and therefore that would have been a violation of She'elas Shalom, and that's why the Gemara is challenging, how can you say that an avel is not allowed to engage in She'elas Shalom? Rabbi Akiva just did a gigantic public display of it. The Gemara answer is, Kavod Rabim Shani. The defense is that he was kind of required out of Kavod Rabim to do it, but you don't have any permission to do it in a normal case. So we're taking that to actually be, would otherwise not be allowed during Avelis, to say, L'chu levateichem l'shalom, go in peace. Shalom. See, that's such a nice thing. Apparently there's something special about using the word shalom in your greeting. I would say even on Shabbos, instead of saying good Shabbos, say Shabbat Shalom. Because that's exactly what it's saying over here. That's real Shaila Shalom. Good Shabbos is nothing. Do that before davening if you want. Anyway. So now the Gemara says, Megimel v'yad zayin meshiv v'ena shoel. From the second half of the Shiva, it says he's allowed to respond, but he's not allowed to initiate. Mikan ve'eilech shoel meshiv kiderko. This is just recap. And after Shiva is over, no restrictions. Wait a second, the Gemara says, that can't be. We can find a contradictory brisa. In Maseches Machos here it says, Hamotzei es chavero avel besoch lamid. What if you find your friend and you heard the news that your friend lost a family member within the past month? This is after Shiva now. Medabri motan chumim. So you should say consoling, comforting things. You know, I'm sorry, I hope you have nechama, malki minachim, these kinds of things. The ena shoel bishlomo. But you're not allowed to say either the magic word shalom or just ask, how are you? Liachar lamid yom shoel bishlomo, ve'ena medabri motan chum. But after shloshim is up, so after shloshim is up, you gotta treat the guy like he's back to normal. You shouldn't be giving solace and comfort and nichum, and you should be greeting him normally. But anyway, what do you see from this braisa is that the cutoff is shloshim, it's not Shiva.
Going the other way.
You see, in other words, you're sensitive to who's speaking to whom. Right. That's what the Gemara is going to answer here. The Gemara says, well, yes, that's true. One of the cutoffs is Shiva, and one of the cutoffs is shloshim. It says like this. I'm not even finished. The Braisa keeps going. The Braisa then goes on to say, well, what if, let's say, the person is in avelus over his wife who passed away? So then things are a little touchy if he's married to somebody else in the meantime. Mesa ishto venasa isha acheres. Well, then you have no permission to give nechama because he's remarried. Ana rashay likanes lebeisa ledabri motan chumim. You're not allowed to go into the house and to give your nichum aveilim wishes, because of course that's not really nice for the second wife. But if mitzal bashuk omer lo b'safa rafa b'kovid rosh, but if you found him outside of the house, you can acknowledge his loss, and you know, you can give him a kind of a like, I'm sorry for your loss, like sado vachi, under your voice, a low voice.
When would he have married the second wife?
That's what the Rishonim says. What are the conditions that would permit him to get married during Shloshim? So you have to learn later on. Later on, the Gemara is going to say, if there are needs, if let's say, for example, he has little children, his wife died and he has a baby, he has children, so there's special dispensation given for the sake and the interests of the kid, he's allowed to marry somebody else, even during Shiva, it says. And or other reasons. It gives other, if the pressures are such. That's what the Rishonim over here also alerted to that. That he might actually have another wife even during Shloshim.
But a new wife, not just having two wives.
Yeah, it's talking about a different new wife. Right. Okay, anyway, this was the Kasha. The Kasha is that this Braisa seems to go against the other one. Amar Rav Yehuda bar Ravin, who Shoel? The answer is, like what you just said, Ushoel Bishalom Acherim, the Acherim Shurim Bishalom. After Shiva is over, he's allowed to greet anybody he wants to, because when he says, how are you, they're fine. Ushoel Bishalom Acherim, Acherim Shurim Bishalom. He's allowed to say, how are you, because they are fine. Acherim, though, have to be sensitive enough to not Shoel Bishlomo, to not ask the Avil, how are you, because he's feeling sad. Sho'eno Sho'roi Bishalom. He's not okay. So that's the answer. The point is like this. The Shiva cutoff is for the Avil to initiate, but others still have to be mindful of the Avelus of the person for the whole Shloshim, so then they can't greet the person. But if they do, then he can respond. But wait a second, but it says that even during Shiva itself, it says, Hu Meshiv. He's not allowed to initiate, but he is allowed to respond. Remember, that was even a rule during Shiva. He's not allowed to do any initiating for Shiva, but he can respond after the first 3 days. So who is he responding to? Somebody who initiated. So you see, you are allowed to initiate. Nechlal d'shaylinen le. The Gemara says, yeah, we're talking about somebody who didn't know. Delo yadi. They didn't realize. What didn't they realize? They didn't realize that he was an avelus. They didn't realize that it's not appropriate. I don't know. The Gemara said, either way, but it means, yeah, that's not saying that you had permission to do it if you know he's an avel. But if the, so let's see. The Gemara says, Yachi, Hasam Nami. So wait a second. So even if somebody greeted the Avel in the first 3 days, he's not allowed to respond? What is he supposed to do? The first 3 days. The Gemara says, well, the first 3 days, he is supposed to say, Moda lehu velo mahadar lehu. He's supposed to not respond to that. You're supposed to say, you know, I'm in a velus. You know, I lost my relative. But after the first 3 days, he doesn't have to do that. He can just respond. What does it mean? What is he responding? He's responding, I'm fine. Okay, maybe. I don't want to talk about it. I'm fine. So I guess he could do that. Okay, so those rules still apply. And you don't have to tell him, you know, I just lost a family. Wait, so we're almost done. Wait a second, but we have a different brisa that gives a different cutoff. Wait a minute. This other brisa says that the cutoff is a year. You can give your comfort, your solace, your consolation, and you don't greet the Avel even in Yud Beis Chodesh. Liachar Yud Beis Chodesh, Oel Bishlomo, Ve'enem Edabri Motan Chumim. After a year is over, so then you greet the person normally, Shoel Bishlomo, even to them, the Enem Edabri Motan Chumim, and you're not supposed to wish them Nechama. Avel Medabri Mo Minatzad, but you can at least acknowledge the person's loss. Rashi and some Rishonim say the difference between giving solace and just mentioning the loss is whether you say, you know, I know you lost your parent or whatever, and so it's more explicit that you're mentioning them by name as opposed to just I'm sorry. Something like I'm sorry is almost universally appropriate. So, okay. So that's the kasha. Kasha is Amar Rabbi Meir, Amotich. And then Rabbi Meir explains this whole 12-month thing, and he says, why after 12 months you shouldn't offer any consolations. Rabbi Meir says, you know what it's like? The Motze Chaveru Avel Achar Yud Beis Chodesh. You know what it's like? You meet somebody that you knew lost a family member over a year ago, and you want to try to comfort them. L'mahu Dome. You know what that's like? L'yadam Shenishbera Raglo. Let's say somebody broke his leg. The Chaisa. And it healed. Metzah Rofe. And now a doctor comes over and he says, oh, Yemerlo. And he says to him, I hear you broke your foot. And Klach Etzli. You should come to my office. Shani Shovra Ve'erpa'ena. I'll smash it and I'll heal it. Kidei Shetedah Shasamonim Shali Yafin. Because I can do a very good job of repair. That's what it says. So in other words, don't open up old wounds when after the year. So that's what it says. Anyway, lo kasha. Gemara says, okay, so this brisa that gives 12 months as the cutoff is, of course, not irreconcilable. Their solution is very simple. Habi avim o habishar karovim. The whole concept of Yud Beis Chodesh only applies to parents. All other family members, avelus only goes up to a month and then it ends. So that's true about greetings as well. So when it says over here about the greetings, that there's a 30-day cutoff, that's talking about regular avelus. But if it says there's a 12-month cutoff, that's parents. And I'll summarize that in a second. But now the Gemara just finishes. But wait a second. But it still says that after the year is up, it does say, Yidaber tanchumim min hatzad. You do give some comfort min hatzad. You know, like you mentioned, like I'm sorry. The Gemara says, yeah, okay, yanachanami, that you can do. My enem dabri mutanchumim kedarko. Avol dabri mo min hatzad. Okay, so when it says you don't talk nechama, it means the formal nechama. All right. So what we just said in terms of greetings is important to know because these are not hilchos avelus that only pertain to the avel, they pertain to everybody. So you have to always be on guard. When somebody is in avelus, you have to know how to talk to them. So during Shiva itself, when you walk into the Shiva house, don't say Shalom Aleichem and don't say how are you. Those are off. Other types of greetings may be okay. It's a little bit unclear what the parameters of Shalom Shalom would be towards the avel. The avel has to know how to respond. He would respond. The first 3 days he doesn't respond. Afterwards he responds if inappropriately approached. And then after Shiva is over, the Avil can say anything he wants to greet people, because they are fine. So he can say Shalom Aleichem to them, and you respond. And then you respond to the Aleichem Shalom. And you can say, how are you? And you can say, I'm fine. You don't say, but and how are you? You don't respond to, because that's initiating a Sheila Shalom to the Avil who you know is not fine. But then that applies to up to Shloshim for other family members. But for a person in Avelis, for a parent, the rule of not greeting the Avil is for a full year. So if somebody is in a year, for like they're saying Kaddish or whatever, a woman who's in Avelis for a parent for the year, you don't say, how are you? That's not appropriate for the year. Yeah, lachol ma'isa. So you should try to get used to a greeting that's like, it's good to see you, hope you're doing well, that kind of a thing. Like, you're not asking. So that's okay. All right, then the last little bit here on the Gemara is a complicated issue, which one of the most complicated Avelis rules. Comes up halacha lemaisa here. Tan Rabbanan. Avel gimel yamim harishonim. It starts out innocently enough, like all the other braises that we've seen so far. Okay, it really does not mean an avel in the first few days. So let's say a person is in Avelis and doesn't realize it. And happens to, by coincidence, come and visit a sibling or family member or something to discover the house is a base of them. It's a Shiva house, which affects this person also. So what do you do in that case? So you just found out, the person just found out that they're an Oval. But they also found out they're an Oval in a Shiva house where people are already in Shiva already. That's Shiva is in progress. Do they just join the house and then they just line up with, oh, they're only up to day five already, so okay, I'm up to day five now. I just didn't realize for the first 5 days that I was in Shiva. I just didn't know. But now I have two more days of Shiva. Or is there any reason to do that or not to do that? Like, well, would you say that makes sense or not? Here's what it says. If the Avel arrived from a location that was nearby, then Mona Imahem, then he joins the house. This is up to the first 3 days, it says. Then he joins the household, and so he would potentially only have 6 or 5 days of Avelis. But if Bam Yimakam Rachok, but if he came in because he was on the road, he was traveling for a long trip, and then he shows up there also in the first 3 days, then Mona Lietzma, then he's on his own, and he has to start day one at that point. Mikan Ve'elech, but from the rest of Shiva, I feel Abam Yimakam Karov Mona Lietzma. If he comes to the base of Avel and they're up to day 5 or 6, then he's on his own. Even if he came from a nearby place. What's the definition of a nearby place? Rash, some of the Rishonim are right over here. That's the basis. The basic Shita is 10 Parsa Os. What's so great about 10 Parsa Os? That's around 25 miles. What's the big significance of 10 Parsa Os? Because that is a one-day journey. A one-day journey. So if you're within a day radius, I guess, of the Beis HaAvel, then you're called a Makom Karov to the Beis HaAvel. That is significant for these purposes. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afila Baba Yom Shavi. Rabbi Shimon says, I don't see 3 days as being a relevant cutoff. And even if the person came on the 7th day, Mimakom Karov, he joins them and he's up to their day. Rishonim here want to understand what that means. What does that mean, the 7th day? Since when does anybody ever do a 7th day? Shiva always goes 6 days plus a token amount in the morning. So what happened? He came in like at that second? So the Rishonim have two important answers over here. One possibility is that, yeah, he came in that 1 second. But the other, because we know that it's not a second. It's like you'll still have a minion in the house, and then after the minion, they're going to sit for a minute, and then they'll do a formal break of Shiva. So, okay, so that's when he came, during that time where they were still acting like they were in Shiva. But Tosa's other answer is, no, he arrived at night, and you don't get to use the rule of Miktsas Yom Shvi'i at night. Maybe that's the rule. That's a whole question in Halacha, whether you say Miktsim Kikulo of Avelus, the night of Shiva. Anyway, that's a stir in Shulchan Aruch. So that's going to be that's a piece of the complications over here, but that's not really the issue.
That
All right, so we're going to stop.
That goes back to a question in my mind. You talked about the Gvura as being day number one.
Yeah.
That day you don't put it. In Israel, though.
They'll bury at night.
They bury at night. So.
Nighttime is day two.
The next morning is still the part of the same day.
Right. The same day as the nighttime.
Huh?
Same day as night as the previous night, which means if they did the burial at night, that's called one.
Right.
And that one stretches for the whole rest of the day also. That'll be one.
So then you're not putting on tefillin in the morning.
Nope, not putting on tefillin in the morning either. That's day one.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, so I never,